are you, Lord? Isn't it amazing to hear what God is at work doing in our community and surrounding communities? It's exciting to hear the stories, and thanks for sharing those testimonies with us. Helps us to know how we can pray better and how we can even connect better. And I have to say, I love your shoes. If you didn't see them, right on the side, Jesus saves, absolutely. So, got to get my hand on a pair of those. This morning, for the moments that we have left, wanted to talk about, continue with our immovable conversation that we've been having, talking about being immovable for Christ, even in difficult times. And you've heard different stories and characters. And this morning, I want us to talk about worship. Immovable worship is something that is very important in our lives. And I think a lot of times we can easily put it in a place that worship is defined a little bit differently and probably not exactly what it is. And so this morning, I actually want to look at a story in the Bible, and this is David and his pray, his worship to the Lord. But as we look at this, one of the things that we understand is we live in a time where there's a lot of opinion about, quote, worship. There's even been the phrase worship wars that has gone on. And over the course of the years of being in ministry, I've had several conversations. I've had individuals that have come up and said, you know, the worship that we're experiencing today, I don't like. We're letting the devil music into our churches. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but sometimes we get people that'll say that. You know, others that'll say, you know what? One time I had a gentleman that walked up to me and he said, Pastor, drums are of the devil, and the organ is inspired. And I just kind of sat there and I thought for a moment, well, that's interesting. How can the drums be of the devil and the organ inspired? When I look in Scripture, I see that actually David himself says that worship the Lord with drums or cymbals, with tambourines, with those things. And I don't know about you, but I didn't see anywhere the word organ. But so it's an interesting that way. But, you know, and really, I've had some that have even said, you know what, we've gone to that place where worship has changed. Now our words are up on a screen and the inspired hymnal of God has been removed. And so we have all of these different opinions. Should we raise our hands? Should we clap our hands? Should we dance? Should we not? Should we tap our feet? All of these things that we see as a part of worship define style, but not worship. And one of the things that we want to look at in the moments that we have is, what does immovable worship look like? And I want to start with this. It's not style. It's not about me. It's not what I like. It's about the one in whom I am giving worth to. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we're going to read a story about David. And it's an interesting story about David and worship, because it's probably not your normal picture of what you would consider worship to be. But it gives us some very important and interesting things to look at and to understand about worship. 2 Samuel 6, we're going to start at verse 12. It says, Now King David was told, The Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. When we look at this story of David, we see worship. We see real, true worship. What is it? And understand again that this is not a framework of what worship looks like. So it's not a scenario where we go, you know what, when we have church on Sunday mornings, what we should do is we should all be walking in and jumping and dancing and having a conga line. You know, that's not what this is about. But what we see is this is all about David's heart of worship. And one of the things that we see very quickly, I want to go through these, very quickly understand worship, it is our all. We give our all in worship. Notice what it says about David. It says that when David came in verse 14, it says, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. I love that phrase. He wasn't holding back. It was with all of his might. I have to be honest with you that a lot of times when I'm worshiping, when I'm singing, I'm holding back. Maybe you are too. You know, there's that, sometimes you get that feeling and you can kind of feel it. It's like, man, this is really incredible, God. I'm having a moment with you, but I'm really aware of everybody around me. And so what do? I got to look cool. I got to be like everybody else. And so I hold back. But David says he danced with all of his might. Not only that, look what else it says that he did. It says when they had taken 6 steps from the house of Obed-Edom, what did they do? It says they stopped and sacrificed. All of a sudden, David says, you know what? It is the most important thing that we give all of everything. And it even says that once they made it to the city of David, he put it in the tent that he had pitched for it, and then he sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord once again. You see, David understood something about the sacrifice, and that is it gives it's all. There is no sacrifice that is a partial sacrifice to the Lord. And David is saying, part of my worship is I'm going to give you all that there is. You know, it's interesting because we can see this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about our spiritual act of worship. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will." Part of our worship is not just what happens on Sunday morning. It's what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Am I giving myself as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord? Putting it all on the altar, giving it all away. David worshiped with all of his might. Not only that, it's not only just giving it all away. It's not about doing it only in that way, but worship is also very personal. Our worship is about our relationship with our Maker, with our Savior. David, in this situation in verse 16, it says that when Michal saw him dancing before the Lord, she despised him. Why? Because David's worship wasn't her worship. Her worship was different. But in David's situation, David was worshiping with all of his might because it was a personal experience. There is no song that put him into worship. It wasn't a place that put him into worship. It was his relationship with his God that established what his worship looked like. It was very, very personal. In John chapter 4, verse 24, this is an incredible verse, and if you don't know it, I would encourage you to go there, highlight it, underline it. There's two very important words that I want to look at. It says, God is spirit. This is Jesus actually saying this, and he says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, this is where we see the personal aspect of it. The first word that Jesus says there is that we are to worship in spirit. Now, I like that because that points to something that goes very countercultural. When we are in worship, it's not about tradition. It's not about the things that we do, the things that we always do. As a matter of fact, that's one of the questions that has come in for our What's on Your Mind questions that we'll be answering is, why don't we do all of the traditions that are out there? Well, that's because one of the things that we see is worship is about personal relationship with the Lord. Spirit. When we worship the Lord in spirit and in that relationship that is with Him. I often find it interesting because there are times when at the end of the service that I'll be standing at the door, I'll be somewhere, and someone will walk up to me, and I've had it on both sides. I've had it where someone walked up and they said, Pastor, man, I really worshiped this morning. Great. And I've had others that have walked up and said, Pastor, this morning I couldn't worship. Well, why not? Because that music, I didn't connect with it. Let me tell you this. If you can walk out of a Sunday morning service and say, I didn't worship with God, that first, it wasn't personal. It was about style. But worship, it's giving all. It's about the personal relationship with Christ. But not only that, but worship, we see in the story of David, worship is also Christ-centered. It has to be about Christ. David, he comes in and Michael's like, David, you know, great, you're out there dancing, making yourself look like a fool, and man, you embarrassed me in front of my people. And look at what David's response is. He says, you know what? It was before the Lord. It was before God, the one who chose me over your father, who chose me over your household. It is before the Lord that I was dancing. It is before the Lord that I will celebrate. And that's who this is all about. This isn't about the Ark of the Covenant at all. This is about God. This is about my relationship with God. And it's Christ-centered. In John chapter 4 that we read just a moment ago, remember I said there's two words. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That's the second part of this. Is it Christ-centered? Again, worship is not about the music. It's not about... Trevor does a great job. I love what Trevor does in the worship team every week. Because I know that the heart is that they want it to be about what Scripture is, what God is all about. They want it to be focused on that. And this is what David says. He goes, it's not about the music. It doesn't matter what the music is. It doesn't matter if you clap hands. If you want to clap hands, go ahead and clap hands, because it's not about clapping hands. It's not about raising hands. It's not about tapping your feet, if that's good, right, or wrong, or not. It is about the truth of God's Word. And does my worship flow out of God's Word in my life? Am I experiencing Christ in my life, and is worship flowing from the truth of that? I love the story of Jesus as God leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we read that three times after 40 days of being in the desert, in the wilderness, that the devil comes and he tempts him three times. And the third time, Satan is before Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, here's what the deal is. I'm taking you up to this big mountain, top of the mountain. He says, look out there, see all of the kingdoms of the earth. If you will simply bow down and worship me just this once, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. And look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. You see what Jesus did right there. He said, Satan, this is worship. And it's all about my God. It's not about you. It's not even about me. Because that's the one thing that Satan was trying to get him to do, was to make it all about him. Hey, Jesus, look what I can do for you. And Jesus said, it's not about me. It's about my Father. It's about the Creator of the world. And he is the one whom I worship always. Jesus made it clear that it is always about God. Immovable worship focuses on the person of Jesus. So again, I say it, if I am to have real, true, proper worship, it doesn't matter. We could not sing a single song and we'd be able to walk out of this place going, I've been blessed because I've been in the presence of my Savior. That's immovable worship. But one more as I close. Worship should always take us deeper into the relationship with our Savior. This to me is an amazing part of this story. As David is standing before Michael, and again, she's just kind of let him know that she's not impressed with what he did, that he embarrassed her, and he goes, hey, here's what the deal is. I will become even more undignified than this. I will humiliate myself in my own eyes. In David's heart of hearts, his thing was, it doesn't matter about me. It is all about God, what God has done. And so here's what I want to do. I will go even deeper into this as long as I am worshiping my God and worshiping him only. It didn't matter what he looked like in front of people. It only mattered what he did for his God. David is one of the greatest worship leaders, I think, in all of history. Read the Psalms and you begin to see an incredible heart of worship. As a matter of fact, turn to Psalm chapter 100 in your Bibles. This is one of my favorite psalms because you see the heart of a man who could worship. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What an incredible thought that is. Verse 3 in there, you see, know that the Lord is God. Let me ask you this question. How can we know that the Lord is God? Well, we know that the Lord is God through his word, right? We know that the Lord is God through moments of being able to be with him, in relationship with him. Worship brings us into that place where it launches us deeper into Christ. It puts us deeper into the relationship. And the more that we know the person of God, the more that we know that the person of Jesus, the more we are drawn into worship and the deeper our worship goes. And it just kind of perpetuates this as it happens. The deeper I go into Christ, the deeper my worship goes. The deeper my worship goes, the more I know my Savior. And this is what David understood. Now again, I've said that sometimes worship doesn't take on the form of what we look or what we think. And I want to look at one more passage. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Because in this passage, we actually see worship. But I think most of us have looked at this passage and gone, well, we haven't even thought about worship. James chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, you might look at that and go, worship? I don't see worship in there. It doesn't even say the word worship. It doesn't even use the word praise in there. There's all kinds of different things. But understand that this passage is full of acts of worship. Submit to God. Resist the devil. draw near to Him. When I am in worship relationship with God, I am drawing near to Him. In those moments of worship, I purify myself with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I humble myself before God as I worship, because it's not about me, it's about my Savior. It's about my Creator. When we understand that it's all about this relationship with our Savior, with our Creator, it will impact all of our worship. And man, it won't matter where I'm at. It won't matter the songs that I'm singing. It doesn't matter, because it's all about my Savior. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, we read these simple words: "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Immovable worship comes from a heart that understands that God is in control. It comes from this place of realizing that there is nothing that this world can throw at me that overpowers my God. Worship comes from the place of understanding that there is nothing in all creation that can separate me from the love of my Savior. Worship happens when I give my all to Him. Worship happens when I focus on my relationship with my Savior. Worship happens when I focus my attention on Christ and on His Word. Worship happens as I go deeper into relationship with Him. You want immovable worship? Let me give us this challenge. Don't make it about what it's not about. Make worship about Christ. And as we close this service this morning, can I just ask you to do this? Would you put aside everybody else, and would you simply worship before the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we have the opportunity to be in Your presence. You are in this place this morning, and that we can't deny, because You have said where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst. So we know that You're here today. We know that You are alive and living and active in our lives, and we've seen that throughout the course of this week. Lord, forgive us for making worship not what it should be. And Lord, in these moments and as we go from this place today, may we worship You in spirit and in truth. And as we lift our voices to You as we close, may You be honored. May You be exalted. May You be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.